Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here with us tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We're live, and this is the 12th day of September. We're moving right along in the year. Things are looking good, praise Yahweh. Well, good for the kingdom people, but it's looking bad for the world. Now, what about the world? Well, the world will wax worse and worse. And in the last days, perilous times will come. We are in a quagmire in Iraq. America is financially broke. We are a debtor nation, no longer a lender nation. You say, oh, Pastor, but it's not all that bad. Well, it's bad enough for us to sound the alarm and to preach the gospel of deliverance. For in the last days, he said, begin to look up. When you see all these signs, we're going to get into a message tonight. Now, I told you last Sunday night when we concluded Babylon, the drunken lady, that we would get into the end time revelation of the fallen angels. So tonight we're going to talk about the fallen angels. Call a friend. Very exciting news that we can give you and share with you and study with you. Going to take you through the scriptures, as we usually do. We're going to ask you to get your Bibles, call a friend, and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy, Dr. Gary, and Dr. Jack is on the air. We are delighted to be in your homes, your automobiles, or your place of reception on WWCR 5070 around the world. We're going to tell you up front that this message is going to be controversial. Maybe, just maybe, you will learn something from these revelations that you haven't been informed about. We believe that the church world today has purposely swept the truth under the rugs of deception. They have covered it, sugarcoated it, and packaged it and sold it as a god of prosperity and deceived the very elect with the gospel that has been cast to the ground, the truth. Well, that's what happened in Genesis chapter 6, where we're going to begin our story about the fallen angels. We find that Genesis chapter 6 is one of the most intriguing, mysterious chapters in the Bible. It really ends an era of a people, a generation. Remember that Noah, his two sons, their two wives, his wife, and himself, or his three sons, three wives, and his wife made eight souls in the sixth chapter, which is the chapter of man. So man, Adam, and his generation was almost extinguished by cunning, crafty, disobedient, unthankful, and unholy angels that cast, as I said, the truth to the ground. Now, why would they do something like this? Well, simply because that they are, as the Bible said, disobedient. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, will begin a search. And it reads like this in the Revised King James. For if God spared not the angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, what is the judgment of casting down? Well, it means that they have failed from a dimension. An angel is a being that has the ability both to transcend the third dimension up to the fourth dimension, and at one time into the fifth dimension. We believe right now that they're bound from the fifth dimension, which is the first dimension or first plane of pure spirit. Now, five is a number of grace. Five is the place of New Jerusalem. Remember, Paul said he went to the third heaven. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's what we're counting. Now, we believe that there are 12 levels, 7 up and 5 down. So, 4 down with the third level being the intermediate, if you will, the intercessory level of school of trial and error. In other words, the third dimension is nothing but a school, a university, a teaching place. And all souls that are qualified to return back to the fifth dimension are trained and trained and trained and trained and trained and trained in this third dimension until, remember the Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish. That is, the ones he has a contract with. Now those that have no hope, those that have no covenant, and those that have no contract, go back to the dust. And this is what it's talking about. For if God spared not the angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell. Now, hell is a place where there is a confinement. It's called the grave. Well, you can't put a spirit in a grave and expect it to lay there in a grave and be sealed in a tomb, just as Christ was sealed in the rock tomb in the Grotto, where he was crucified, over to the tomb of Joseph. And he was sealed, but the stone was rolled away and he rose again. Now there are angels that they themselves are bound in a dimensional prison, or at least they were one time, could possibly still be now, but we'll get into that and show you the mysteries of the location, who they are, why they're there, and what the consequences are of their judgment. Now, I want to give you a very strange scripture. Well, it's worded in such a way that a lot of people don't really know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, that Peter, James, and John, and the apostolic fathers, when this book was written, it says that they were made a spectacle to angels. Well, remember, the Bible said that the angels desire to look into the affairs of man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than angels. Then angels desire to lower themselves to man's level. Isn't that strange? That angels left their habitation. Well, let's see if that's so. The spectacle was that angels wanted to cohabit with man. And so then man has had the disadvantage of being a little lower or subject or submissive to the cunning and the craftiness and the wisdom. We're talking about man living an average, let's say, of 68 point years right now on an average. And these angels being whatever, billions of years old. I mean, it would just stagger the mind to really know how old these spirit beings are. Well, they've accumulated both good and bad through their fall knowledge that would either impress you, suppress you, or oppress you, or depress you, or compress you. So all of those that I just mentioned, you become subject to them because they desire to rule over man and cohabit, or to mix and mingle with them as they were doing in Genesis 6. See, these sons of God, those who from heaven came, is the correct rendering of the Hebrew in Genesis chapter 6, those who from heaven fell. Well, let's go to Jude and see what it says. If the sons of God in Genesis 6 and 4 were the angels who left their former habitation or first estate that is mentioned in Jude chapter 3, how is it that they could marry the daughters of men and have children, since it is understood from the Master's words in Matthew 22:30 that angels neither marry or are given in marriage? Now write that scripture down and study just a little bit, and let me repeat it for you. It's Matthew 22:30, where the Messiah informed us that angels neither marry or are given in marriage. Well, that means from the time that they were created, that they were not to marry, miscegenate, and they were not to cohabit with man. They were watchers. They were to not interfere in the affairs of man unless warranted by the Creator, Yahweh. The, if you will, the Creator of this dimension here. And the angels are created. Now let me show you something very, 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 very wonderful. If you are an eternal being, you have something greater than the angel. Is that what they wanted to look into? Is that why they tried to mix and miscegenate? An eternal being is someone that has no beginning and no end. And no death. Remember Christ said, if you believe in me, you shall never die. Remember also he said, I'm not of this world and neither are my sheep. And I give them eternal life. This was the promise made to the sons of Adam, who had a covenant contract to be redeemed by the blood. Remember, it takes blood to cover sin. And through the fall in the garden, there was a redemptive price demanded through the exact of the law, which said that no sin would enter back into heaven. Now, mind you, those who came down out of heaven and sin means they can't go back. So then, the Messiah was talking about, at the time that he said this, he was actually talking about those who had remained loyal in heaven, because at that time, the angels that had sinned had been cast out of heaven, because they defied his orders when they were created not to mix with the man who is just a little bit lower than them, but has something that they desire to look into. That's why that Peter made the statement. James and John and the apostolic fathers, and you could make the same statement, that they became a spectacle in the eyes of the angels. Remember, Paul had an angel to visit him. Remember, Daniel had an angel to visit him. Remember that Samson's parents had an angel to visit them. So these angels had the power when authorized. They also had the power to come and cohabit without being authorized. That's the ones that sinned. And they were cast down to a place. Now, their final place is here upon the earth. This is their final destination. Now, they've been here prior to Genesis 1:1. They were here in Genesis chapter 6. After the first world that perished and that was void and full of darkness, they caused that because they left their habitation. And it brought darkness. When they lowered themselves, they became the authors of spiritual darkness, or the creators of spiritual darkness, or the deceivers of spiritual darkness. Remember, darkness and light has no fellowship. The good angels remain loyal and would only come to earth or visit earth or interfere or intervene with the affairs of man when summoned to the throne of Yahweh and commanded to go forth. And I've given examples of Michael and Gabriel and some of the other angels that's listed in the book of Enoch, because the book of Enoch is the key to the knowledge of what angels are all about. And yet, 90% of the Christians, well, I could say 95% of the Christians in the world have never read the book of Enoch. I know it seems like a very strange, mystical Bible, because it's not written in the prose, if you will, of the King James Bible or other Bibles that are, we call, enlightened or anointed. There was 12 books in the Bible that was canonized in the original King James Bible that were later taken out in the 1800s. Now, they took away 12 books from the King James Bible, and yet preachers would get up and swear of the authenticity of the King James Bible, and it's just like God wrote it, and yet there's 12 books out of the original King James Bible, and it ain't even the first Bible. So then we got problems here. But we should look at the book of Enoch real serious when we think about angels. And for those who go to church and pay their pew rent, as I call it, they never get to hear the truth of what happened to these angels or why these angels were dismissed from the presence of Almighty God. Now, there was a war. I'm going to talk to you, as I said, in Revelation chapter 12, and I'm going to read for you the warfare that started in chapter 12. It is awesome, and it is very enlightening to understand or to comprehend or to get it right in your mind about the scriptures that indicate that Satan and his angels rebelled, were removed from heaven at some time. We're going to tell you what timeline that was, and we're going to prove it to you in the scriptures where that they fell from heaven. They fell from heaven. Well, if they fell from heaven, and now are they up on the earth? That's the question. Are angels upon the earth now? Well, that's an interesting question, and let's take it in one or two parts to try to explain to you just exactly where they're at. Now, remember, they have authorization in the beginning to actually have access to the earth. And so, therefore, by having access to there, the Bible said they lusted, these angels, and by lusting they sinned. When lust conceives, it brings forth sin when it's obeyed. So that's basically what happened to them. They begin to sin, and by sinning, they lost their right to have access to heaven. And then they couldn't go back. They were cast out of heaven, in other words. So them going to, remember, he told Yahweh, when Yahweh asked him in Job, why are you here among the sons of God, the angels? And he said, well, I'm here from going to and fro in the earth. Going to and fro in the earth, and by doing so, they became familiar with God's creation, man. Remember now, man became a speckled. They began to be watchers of man. And they began to see these beautiful daughters that was born to man. And the Bible says that they lusted in their hearts for man. Isn't that strange that they would lust for the daughters of man? Does that mean that angels are males? Well, you can certainly believe this, and believe me, I've done my homework, and I hope you've done yours, or I hope you will do yours if you are provoked to interest, and I hope you are, because the Bible says through Scripture, there is not one reference in heaven where there's any female angels. But on the other hand, there is not a male angel. Well, were they sexless? They were to be sexless, not because they were. But they did have the power to mate with the daughters of men, and therefore they sinned and were cast down to the earth, and there they continued until there was war in heaven. And we're going to talk about the war in heaven. It's a very interesting subject. Fascinating to know exactly why that there was a war in heaven. I believe that it was because of the sinful disobedience and disrespect to our Heavenly Father. Now, remember, the Bible says that Satan was perfect. To show you that Satan is a created being. Well, that means that angels have a temporary existence, or they have an eternal existence depending on the judgment, or their worthiness, or by their fruits you shall know them, just like man. They fail to man's status. Well, we're here as eternal beings trying to prove ourselves worthy to return. They're here upon the earth, proving their status worthy to depart heaven. Here we are trying to climb back, and there they are trying to get down because they lusted in their hearts. They wanted to procreate. They wanted to bring forth or become creators themselves, or better yet, they wanted to become, they wanted to become perverters of that which was created. Now that is a very serious problem. By becoming, if you will, perverters of that which is created, let's look at chapter 12, and let's look at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now this is Lucifer, Satan, the shining one. Not the bright morning star. He wanted to be like the bright morning star. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. Now, remember, we just got out of drunken Babylon and showed you the 7 heads and the 10 horned beast. And Satan who carried her, and the false prophets that, well, basically deceived the whole world. Whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that strange that angels could deceive you? Why would they want to deceive you? Well, isn't it like if you take prisoners or hostages, let's say, like they did in Russia, and they use these children as human shields to bargain with the government, and yet Russia, as brutal as it is, they don't care to kill children. Well, neither does the United States government. They killed children in Waco. They shot a baby out of arms of a loving woman. And he got away with that. I mean, he got promoted for doing that. So don't think that Russia is any worse than we are when we ourselves are known by our fruits and we're becoming a scared, senseless, frightened, corrupt people that would resort to such things as this bestiality and corruption and sin and perversion that is now ruling our planet is so strong that the Bible would declare it, that evil men will wax worse and worse, and a time of trouble would come up the earth, and perilous times, and except these days be shortened, as it was in Genesis 6 when we had the angelic invasion. Are angels causing all these problems? Are fallen angels now secretly working with the governments of the earth, promoting violence and fear and rage and shame? As they're working on meddling, as they were in Genesis 6, in the affairs of man, why would they want, like I said, to miscegenate into the genetics of man? Would it not be to promote or prolong or take hostages, in other words? Remember, the Bible says when Yahweh returns, Satan and his angels will be here on the planet. And ladies and gentlemen, we haven't ever seen an angel. And the miracles that they can perform, the Bible says they will do miracles in the sight of the beast. Well, did you know that the government is now setting up the world for one unity, world order, for the final God of this earth to come on the earth to do the final battle before the great and terrible day of Yahweh is to come at the last trump? Satan is going to come in the days of the seventh angel when he begins to sound that time should be no more. Satan will start in a frantic, hurried up pace to unify the earth and the kings of the earth and the governments of the earth and the people of the earth to fight against the coming. Now, this is the second coming. Remember I told you we had one resurrection. That's first resurrection. I mean, he got up 144,000. They were with the bride. Now, for the second resurrection, those that remain will not prevent them asleep, for Christ will bring them, or God, it says, Elohim, the mighty one, Yahweh, and his angels, along with all of the saints that have passed on into the heavens. They shall come back with a shout of an archangel, and there shall be an end time war. Now think about here. And his tail drew the third part. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Well, was a one-third rebellion of fallen angels that desire to miscegenate and bring seed in the Canaanite image. Remember, Cain, I believe, was the offspring of Lucifer, Satan, from the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:14, whenever that was. So this crafty, wise angel, preferring or being permitted to walk in the garden in this fifth dimensional existence, long before man was thrown or hurled out of heaven. You see, angels weren't hurled out at the time of the transgression of Adam. It was only Adam and Eve that were removed from walking among the mighty ones, the trees of the garden, the spiritual beings. But remember, they could themselves come to the third dimension and take on the likeness of flesh and blood. I mean, it's incredible how that they can transform from the fifth dimension to the third dimension. We'll get into that someday, because See you. how that they have the ability to transcend from one dimension to the other and carry their sheath bodies, these shielded bodies, that will take on whatever dimension they go to. Now, they had the run of the universe. They had the run of the dimensions. They could go from the top level of the dimension down to the bottom level of the dimensions. David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. Also, the angelic beings. Remember, Satan and his angels now have failed from their steadfastness, just like man fell from his steadfastness. The angelic beings fell with him, but into a different dimension. But they have, when given permission, remember they were bound because there was a war, and Michael and his angels, as we're going to read here, now his tail drew the third part of the stars. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. I'll talk to you a little bit next Sunday night about that war in heaven. And when it was fought, it is actually a three-part war. Like World War I, World War II, and World War III is coming. Now, this is the granddaddy of all wars, the third war. So then, and prior to Genesis 1, there was a war fought, and there was darkness over the face of the deep, and the earth was in disarray. Now, how do you know that, Pastor Buddy? Because I know that in Genesis chapter 1, that it gave the command when Adam was reinvented, if you will, because there's nothing new under the sun for what is to be's already been. But they lost round one. Well, we're going to read for they lost round two. But the miraculous thing is they won't lose. I'm talking about the covenant contract people of the house of Israel will not lose round three because those days will be shortened for the elect's sake, and they will be saved. All Israel, who is Israel, and remember, not all Israel is Israel, but all Israel that is Israel shall be saved by fire. And he's coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God or El, and obey not his word, become obedient to him, just like in the third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain. Well, everybody thinks, well, don't say God damn, because that's cursing. Well, the Bible says that there's one God, and if you believe that, you believe well, because the devil himself believes and trembles. But the Bible also says that the devil is the god of this world, and he that believeth in him shall be damned. So if you want to be God damned, what you got to do is to take the name of Yahweh in vain. I'm not talking about cursing and saying a curse word. Because when you say goddamn, that is not actually a curse word. I know it sounds bad, but gods that are damned, and the Bible warns you not to curse the gods or provoke them. So then you shouldn't even do that. It's a misdemeanor of some sort, but you shouldn't do it. What taking the name of Yahweh in vain, it says the Lord in the King James here, when you do that, it means that you either misuse it, misunderstand it, misappropriate the meaning of it, or not use it at all, or refuse to be baptized in it. That's taking it in vain. That's what that word means. Not some curse word that somebody has thought up, because damn is in the Bible and God is in the Bible. If you combine the two words together, you're just saying words that's in the Bible. But when you purposely put off the name of Yahweh, when you hear it and you don't obey it, there's a war going on in your mind. Satan and his angels are battling for your sake against Yahweh, who's battling for your sake. One's battling against you and one's battling for you. But Satan has changed it into a semi-way and told you not to say the word God damn, because that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. But when the name of Yahweh is preached, he'll encourage you to make fun of the preachers that preach in that name, or that comes in that name, or baptizes in that name, and that's taking the name of Yahweh in vain. That's the real curse that you're doing. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain. You must use it or lose it. You must confess it or reject it. You must have it or not have it. You must be hot in the name of Yahweh or cold in the name of the devil. And the devil has got many gods and many names that he's presented to the people of the earth, even would deceive some of the very elect who will turn back, and as Jannes was, and those whom the Tower of Siloam fell on, and those who blasphemed the name of Yahweh and miscegenized his blood across the borders, who were killed without mercy. So we have people today that are cold and indifferent, started out with a good faith, and they did run well, but then something began to hinder them. They love mommy, they love daddy, they love tradition, or they miss. You see, when we gather up, and we will be gathering on the night of the 23rd of this month, in fellowship festival, which the Sabbath will begin on the night, or that's the 27th, rather, the night of the 27th of September, the ninth month, we'll begin to gather up here, and we will meet in Andrews, North Carolina, on the night of the 27th for the beginning of the Festival of Tabernacles. And for 8 glorious days, we will meet. We will teach, we will preach, we will pray, we will go on our altars. We will do those things which is pleasing in His sight. We'll look at the stars in the sky, and we'll look for the signs. We had a full eclipse last Tabernacle Festival. It was glorious. It was just like the Father put His stamp of approval upon the very night that we met there, when there was a full eclipse, and it's glorious. Well, we're going to be there again. Well, that's obedience. If you want to curse yourself, if you want to take the name of Yahweh in vain, do not get baptized in the name of Yahweh. When you hear a preacher like Pastor Buddy preaching you that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh. And ladies and gentlemen, I remind you, for those of you that have turned back, it'd be better for you that if you've never heard this name, than to hear it, put it on, and then turn from it or reject it or try to take it off. I'm telling you, they will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you in the day of judgment, because it'd been better for you not to hear this word and this name. Because those who put their hands to the plow and look back are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, He's coming back with an inkhorn. He's coming back with His angels in flaming fire, and they're going to go through the Lamb, and they're going to gather together the elect and the wicked. The wicked are going to be taken away and bundled and burned and destroyed. And that's Satan and his angels who have transgressed sins and caused deception, darkness, misery, death, starvation, aggravation, stress, everything that is evil. These fallen angels, Satan is the chief angel that fell. Others that fell with his likeness, they sided with him in this war in heaven in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. They fought against Michael and his angels. Now, Michael is the mighty war angel, and Gabriel is the messenger angel. So, the messenger angel and the war, you must fight a good fight of faith to lay hold on eternal life and keep the faith and not deny His name. If you deny it, you're in for gate trouble. If you reject Him, you're in for gate trouble. If you fail to use this name, or if you're ashamed of this name, He'll be ashamed of you when He comes back. Your time is now. Today's the day of salvation. And remember, Acts 4:11-12, our salvation in no other name under heaven given among men. And I remind you that the New Testament Bible didn't come out or was not fully printed and made accessible to the public until 1,300 years after the resurrection of Christ. 1,300 years. And listen, why did Satan plunge the earth into what is known after the third century, the Dark Ages? No history? No revelation of what happened? Obscure darkness? And the New Testament was not even written, printed, until the Catholic Church released the version that we have now is a copy of the Latin version of the Catholic Bible. Now, there's not one original letter of the Apostolic Fathers that has ever been revealed to man in the New Testament Bible. So then we must suspect the name that they put in there. It sounds like a Greek god. Zeus. Whosoever takes the name of Yahweh in vain, Yahweh will hold him guilty and not guiltless. You will bear the guilt of taking his name in vain. And it's not cursing in the form of fashion that you might hear down in the Baptist church. You're not supposed to cuss. When you curse or blaspheme or take the name of Yahweh in vain, like I said, it means that you have failed to invest in it, to recognize its value, or to be a participator in it and receive the mark in your forehead by converting from the false names that you've been in. We've all been in false names. I worked 30 years in a false name before I got in the true name. Now, when I found the true name, Yahweh, I've never went back on it. I never will. Granted, by the grace of the living God, for he that looks back, as I said, he's going to be turned into a pillar of salt. You're going to lose if you don't use the name of Yahweh. If you're ashamed of him, it's going to be ashamed of you. So stand up and get involved in this war that's going on right now. It is angelic beings of righteousness encouraging you to take on the name of Yahweh. It is the dark forces of Satan, angels that have been transformed into figures of light with the preaching of false names that would deceive the very elect, if possible. And Satan is working on, this dragon was wrought with a woman and went to make war with the remnant. We're still in a war, and this war is over the angelic beings that fell, that is trying to convince you that you do not need to use the name of Yahweh. Oh, the name of Jesus is okay, Pastor Buddy. My pastor told me so. He said, oh, God's got many names. That's a lie of the devil. That's children of darkness. That's deception of the evil one. Acts 4:11 and 12 said there's none other name under heaven that's got salvation. What name is it that has got salvation? The only one that you can read in the Old Testament, approximately 7,000 times, Lord, rendering Lord. They took out the divine covenant name in vain. They worship him, teaching for doctrine on using names of accepted deities. Zeus was the sky god, the principal god of Rome. I want to repeat this. They even took a statue of Zeus into the Temple Mount area and caused those who were there worshiping the true God Yahweh to have to bow and kiss the stone, the feet of Zeus. And it's all recorded in the very book that they took out of the King James Bible, the book of Maccabees. They want you to see it. That there was a statue of Zeus erected. No wonder they took it out. And ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you this, but it wasn't the Catholic Church that took it out. It was the Protestants that deemed it unscriptural or uninspired, with a better word. But it was a history given in the Maccabean era of time. And these wars was fought around the time of Christ or immediately after. and it tells about the erection of the statue of Zeus and the Roman occupation of their god Zeus battling the Hebrew god Yahweh, and it looks like they won. It looks like they would deceive the very elect. Well, they would if it was possible. But remember, Elijah found out that Yahweh had 7,000 hadn't bowed the knee to Baal, and I hope you're one of them. I hope that you have used this name. I encourage you to. I encourage you, if you'd like to have the tract that I have written, have it free and postpaid mailed to you, write for my tract, Hallelujah, the only name given that has salvation. Now, get the name that's got salvation. If you get any name or any other name that doesn't have salvation, oh, it may be glorious, it may be popular, it may be sung and praised in all the churches, but that don't mean it's right. Search the scriptures. Prove all things as the Bereans did, where they searched the scriptures. Well, what scriptures were they searching? When they searched the Bible, they searched the Old Testament, because at the time they were searching, there was no New Testament. You see what I mean? Remember what Christ said in John chapter 14 of the book of Matthew and the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke and other places where he gave witness that Moses wrote of him? There is no record in the Old Testament anywhere in the Bible of the name of Jesus. And yet people have been persuaded to use it, because they say it has the affiliation of the transliteration or the translation of the name of Joshua, which means Yahweh Shua or Yahshua. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no salvation in the name of Joshua or Yahshua. You may think there is if you're a sacred name believer. You've been deceived too by taking on another name when the Bible says there's only salvation in one name. And if it ain't Yahweh, then we got gay trouble. We got Bible trouble. And then the whole Bible is suspect. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, that salvation is only in the name of Yahweh. It'll say Jehovah in your Bible, but if you'll read the King James Bible, like I said, on page 72 of the New Open King James Bible, it will reveal to you that Jehovah is an erroneous rendering of the correct Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh name of Yahweh. It is the only name. It's the only name that's got salvation. There's not two names. You can't serve two masters. So if you're caught between the rock and the hard place of being deceived with another name, you'd be wise to go back and look at the third commandment, not to take the name of Yahweh in vain. You take on another name that you say, well, Yahshua means Yahweh is salvation. Well, if it does, why don't you use the name that's got the salvation and you just admit it was Yahweh? When you're saying Yahshua, you're using the name of Yahweh with a title. His name doesn't need a title applied to it. It stands alone and by itself. And Yahweh alone is sufficient for you to be baptized, because when it says to be baptized in the name of Yahweh, that's what it said, not no other name. Nothing added to it and nothing taken away. Be sure your sins find you out. And if you want them remitted, well, let me repeat this before I get off the air here, and my time is just fleeing on by. If you want your sins remitted, remember this. First, that Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, that's three things by record on earth, water, blood, and spirit. John 3 and 5 says that you must be born of the water and the spirit. John, the water baptizer, came preaching water baptism for the remission of sin. In the fourth chapter of the book of John, the Pharisees heard that the Messiah, Yahweh, had baptized more disciples than John. Well, in the third chapter, when Yahweh was baptizing in water, John was in Salem baptizing in water near to him, and when he heard that the Messiah was baptizing, remember, he didn't start baptizing like he was baptized of John. But John said, I have need to be baptized of you. He said, suffer to be so for now to fulfill. And so as John was the voice of the prophet Elijah crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of God, in Isaiah 40, and that's exactly what it says, to prepare the way of God. God came in the personage, incarnated in the flesh, and called himself Yahweh. And they killed him. Isn't that appropriate? But before he left here, he commanded them to be baptized in his name. Well, in John 17, verse 6, he taught them or manifested or revealed the name that they had forgotten. Isn't it incredible that these Hebrew boys, these plain fishermen, were caught up and carried away with a Jewish foolishness, that the name of Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh was too sacred to pronounce? And so they had forgotten the name of Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh for Baal. And so Yahweh reintroduced the name in flesh when he was here. He reintroduced the name to them in the 6th verse of John 17. And in the 26th verse, he confirmed it with the Father. Remember, the Father was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself. And when you serve the Son, you serve the Father. When you call on the Father, you're calling on the Son, because in John 5:43, the Son said, I come in my Father's name. He was killed for it, because they said, I've had people say, well, Pastor Buddy, you know if he'd have called himself Yahweh, they'd have killed him. I said, haven't you read the rest of the story? They killed him. Why? Because he claimed to be God in the flesh. He claimed to be the Mighty One in the flesh. And there was war in heaven over this very issue. Water baptism is for the remission of sin. And if you want your sins remitted, you must. Let me repeat this. And oh, I pray, Father Yahweh in heaven, with your magnificent, magnanimous, glorious, most reverend name, Psalms 83:18 said, that you may know him whose name alone is Yahweh, stand by itself. It don't need propping up. The Father and the Son is the same person, God incarnated into a body of flesh. There's not two up there in heaven. There's not three. If you believe in one God, one Yahweh, you believe well. The devil knows him, and he trembles. But he's trying to encourage you to call on a false name, a blasphemy name, and to take the name of Yahweh in vain by casting it aside, ignoring it, not using it, and certainly not being baptized in it. Well, that's my message tonight on part one of War in Heaven. I'll be back next Sunday night on WWCR 5070 with part two of War in Heaven. I want you to understand that Yahweh loves you, and he's pleading with you through his prophets. He will only reveal the message of the hour through his prophets. He said, I will not reveal anything to the people except I reveal it through my prophets. His prophets, every one of them, will come in his name. They will practice in his name. They will preach in his name. They will baptize in his name. And they will teach you not to take the name of Yahweh in vain. They'll encourage you to get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said he come to give you a chance to put him on. How do you put him on? In water baptism for the remission of sin. Removing your sins. You can't go to heaven with sin. So water baptism is the express requirement to get your sins removed. You say, well, I feel good, and I ain't been baptized in Yahweh's name. Well, you can feel good, look good, think good, and be good. But there's no demand for any of that above. He's looking for people that are right. You can be good, think good, feel good, and look good. But if you ain't right, you're going to hell with all nations that forget him. You better put him on instead of putting him up. Well, if you'd like to call me tonight, I've got to get my messaging. If you'd like to call me, Pastor Buddy, call me at area code. I'm live. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me. Right, Pastor Buddy, that's all you need. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Remember, we are in need of you helping us on the broadcast. And if you will, simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And we will send every penny that you earmark for our broadcast will be given to our sponsors to help keep us on the air, that you may hear the alternative gospel of the great, magnanimous, magnificent, holy, most righteous, majestic, powerful name of God. Oh, it's glorious. So if you'd like to help us, do that. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, for those of you on my regular mailing list, remember, I send you out 4 tapes a year that you may be blessed with our messages. You will have those. If you want to become a member of Buddy's Tape Club, just give us a call, or you can write us, or you can email me. Email me if you got a computer. buddy1@centurytale.net. Well, the old clock on the wall is caught up with me tonight, folks. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR Around the World. Talk radio, the mighty voice with the shepherd's call. God bless you.
Let the eyes make the heart over to warm.